Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
Today we're going to talk about some commonly misunderstood concepts that a lot of golfers have. And we're going to talk about three main ones that we each are going to pull in together. Eric's going to go first with his.
One of the concepts that I think golfers misunderstand a lot is you're standing there at setup and you know the club has to go up and back here. Okay, and if you watch the boyfriend teaching the girlfriend at the range for the first time, or just someone new, a husband trying to teach a wife, or a wife trying to teach a husband, or something like that, you'll see a lot of golfers just pick their arms up, and put the club kind of somewhere near parallel above their head, and then kind of bring their arms down, and there's no weight shift, there's not much of anything, and they don't use their bodies much either. So my commonly misunderstood concept for golfers is how little you use your arms in a good backswing, how much you use your body, and then the reverse of that almost on the downswing, how much you use your arms and not how little you use your body, because most people will try to turn or something like that, but how much you use your arms in the downswing, how little you use your arms in the backswing. If everyone listening at home, or hopefully not driving in the car, doesn't do this, but if you do like a 9-to-3 drill and you just turn your chest 90 degrees back, your hands get transported 90 degrees around you. And if all you do is raise your arms a little bit at the shoulders, hinge the wrists a little bit, that tends to bend the trail elbow some. That's almost all your arms do. And we see, all of us see, plenty of golfers just bend the crap out of their trail arm, not turn their bodies, and then they feel like an arm swing on the downswing. And yet, conversely, when they get to a good position at the top, often a lot of players will just spin hard from there. Their hands get carried out toward the golf ball, and then their body has to stall so their arms can come down late. And so they feel very armsy. They feel like, I have an armsy swing. So then their instinct is to take the arms out of the downswing, when that's precisely the time when, from the top, they need to almost fire their arms just in the proper direction. They don't need to carry them out to the golf ball and then fire them late. They need to fire them early, because they have the same quarter second to get a lot farther down to the golf ball than their body has to go.
Yeah, and like, you have gears, and one of my favorite follows is the Athletic Motion guys, mm-hmm. and they have an amazing video out there where they show how much the arms actually just lift, the tiny little bit of rotate, and because it's really cool with gears, you can cut out the rest of the body parts, and so they've just got these arms sort of floating in space and time. And the amount of times I've sent that to students that are like, you know, they can't quite understand it visually, I'm like, okay, go watch this video, and you'll just be amazed at how the lack of the arms are doing it, and the body is doing majority of the work of moving the arms.
Right. So Jim Waldron had a video a long time ago called the Arm Swing Illusion, because from a downline camera or what you see on television, it looks like the arms are going around the body. And so I help a lot of golfers whose trail elbow gets around behind their shirt seam, right, on the trail side of their body, around that way. You don't need to move your arms that much. If you bend your trail elbow, that moves your hands in front of your trail shoulder, your right shoulder if you're a righty. And that's almost as far as your arms go around you. They mostly go up and down. I tell my juniors, and they can all recite this, body equals around, arms equal up and down. Your arms almost just go up and down. And in the backswing, the up is pretty little, because a lot of people won't even process, if they lift their shoulders to raise their arms, they don't even process that as the arms doing something, because it feels like their body to them. You use your arms surprisingly little in the backswing, I find, for a lot of people.
Would you say the upper arms are pretty connected to the chest as those players are turning?
For the first part.
Yes.
But like the glove under the armpit thing, which I don't like, I want it to fall out. I want it to fall out as they raise their arms. I don't love a trail elbow that's glued to the rib cage. Okay. I have a pretty broad window where, you know, it might be a few inches away from the rib cage, up to, you know, almost a foot away from the rib cage or something like that, depending on the size of the player. I just had a player today. We have a training aid called the Tube. We jokingly, every time we put a note in it, we put a registered trademark after it. It's not registered. It's just a piece of PVC or a corrugated tubing from a garden store like Lowe's or something like that. I put it over their trail elbow. They can't bend their arm, so they can't get their arms stuck behind them, so they're forced to turn. You've never seen so many people turn farther in their lives than when you put a tube on their arm.
That's good. I like that.
You can read the printing on the back of their shirt.
Just massive rotation.
Right. And they lift their arms at the shoulders, but they can't bend their elbow much. They'll still hinge a little bit. And you would not believe how many people you get with Schaffling, their elbow well in front of their, from the face on camera, not in 3D, but from the face on camera, their elbow in front of their hip, right? At P6, their hands are up near the golf ball. And they have a giant tube on their arm, which you'd think would crowd them and get them stuck a little bit more easily. But it's not, because you can't get stuck if your arm never gets behind you.
Yeah. How wide, what how wide and how long? What is it, or is this trademark? We can't give away the secrets here.
It's about a foot long, just enough to go over the elbow and not let them bend it a whole lot, you know? And I think it's about 4-inch tubing. You can get a 10-foot section of it for 15, 20 bucks.
Love that. Love it. What does that do? What does that do to the lead arm really quick? What does that do to the lead arm as they go back?
We have a guy at our academy who has a lead arm straight training aid. You know, it's basically almost a tube for his lead arm. But if you don't bend the trail arm, the lead arm doesn't bend, right? I mean, the golfing machine is extensor action, right? You're pushing out that trail elbow. That's what keeps your lead arm straight. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably value golf. You probably also value your time, which is why I'm here to recommend the Fit for Golf app. The Fit for Golf app, whether you have bands and weights at home or access to a full gym, can customize itself to match your needs, your equipment, your time. You can set the Fit for Golf app to give you workouts 3 days a week using the equipment you have at home, targeting the things you want to improve about your physical fitness, flexibility, strength, speed. You can save 20% on the Fit for Golf app by visiting fitforgolf.app on the web and putting the coupon code SPINAXIS in. Thanks to Fit for Golf for sponsoring this episode. Jason, what's a commonly misunderstood concept that you see from golfers?
Yeah, well, to sort of finish the yours is going to be into the downswing, which is the concept of that the hands and maybe even the club, more importantly, does not go directly to the golf ball at the top of the backswing. See so many people that struggle with this, and I don't know if it's obviously it's got to be a concept where it's like, all right, I finished my backswing, I'm now going to hit this golf ball from this position. And we all know that's not what you want to have happen, let alone is it the least effective way of bringing the club down to generate the most speed that you can do, right? And getting through to someone, often talk about like the David and Goliath, that's like the sling, right? Trying to like whip the club around. You don't want to go up, you know, if you imagine your club was like a little rope, right? Once you got it up to the top there, you don't want to try and pull that rope down, because you're actually going to pull this that slack out of it, and it's just going to fall on top of the golf ball. There's no speed into that. Where if you can feel like at the top of your backswing, you're going to get that rock to start working back and away from the golf ball first, then you can pull it into the golf ball, and that's going to be massive amounts of speed through the ball, which is what you want. So getting a person to buy into the concept of first, you want to get the hands and the club to work down almost slightly back and behind you. Again, it's always the feels and what you need to try and get someone to buy into it. Because I have seen golfers where they get up to the top and they actually push their hands back behind you, and you're like, okay, no, especially juniors, right? Where they're like super flexible. It's like, no, okay, that's just too much. Okay. But for most people, they can't feel it enough. I always talk about like, I want you to feel like you're trying to get your hands into like your trail shoelaces, you know, before you feel like you're rotating. And they're like, oh, it feels really handsy. I'm like, perfect. This is really good, because you don't do that at all. I need lots of that. And so once they can get this feeling of once they get to the top, and you know, maybe even this, I had this today talking about the backswing isn't at the top of the backswing. You might need to feel like the backswing finishes at like halfway down in what you thought was the downswing. Will give you a little bit more comfort into like feeling like when you put on the speed of the rotation, might get your hands and club into a better spot.
So I kind of like the Chris Como, I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but sort of pulling the grip off the handle from the top, sort of away from you or away from the target, right? Versus just pulling that thing straight down to the ball. For a lot of people, that's something that I've used in the past to help them with this concept. Like you said, Jason, I never want them to have their hands necessarily working backwards, gets the trail elbow stuck behind the seam line of the shirt, right? Other problems exist. But I think the direction that the force is coming out of the handle, it in that transition is something that still really confuses a lot of people.
Yeah, and I would agree. I often talk about force and torque into the handle for a lot of golfers. And I have a training aid. It's just a club that I put like red tape on one spot and green tape on the other spot. And I say, all right, in your swing right now, especially for people that toss the club from the top, you're putting all this force into this red part of the handle. I want you to feel like, how could you put a little bit more force into the green than you are putting into the red? And all of a sudden you see their eyes light up like, okay, well, that feels like my hands are actually working almost a little bit away from my body. I'm like, okay, give me that plus like 10, right? And that's what we need.
So where's the green part and where's the red part on the club?
All right. So basically on the club, on the top hand of the club, so your lead hand, sorry, I should say your gloved hand, okay? The green tape is going to be on the top and a little bit onto the inside of that. So let's say like 5, 10% into the inside of that, like towards the target. And then the red's underneath that club, right? And then your other one, the red is on the top of the club on your trail hand. And then the green is on the bottom of that club. And what I get people to do is I get them to do this flute drill where they're basically holding onto the club like they're playing a flute. And they'll feel instantly if they're putting pressure into their trail thumb into the club versus, you know, putting that pressure into like the lead hand thumb into the club as they work into like the transition. It's also great for hinging the club too. If you imagine if all you want to do as you work off the golf ball is push the green from your gloved hand down and feel like you're pulling up the green on your trail hand, also works into hinging that club.
Right. And I will sometimes show people, like I'll just have a hula hoop, right? And I'll say, okay, the club head traces kind of an arc, right? And so when the club head is vertical, when the shaft is vertical, laterally toward and away from the golf ball, that's as far away as the club head gets from the golf ball. And then as it gets closer to parallel or even short of parallel, right, it's moving back toward the golf ball some. But then to start the downswing, the club moves away and away. It moves away from the target, and it's going away from the golf ball. And, you know, you can overdo it and shallow and do all that stuff, but it's moving away from the golf ball because it actually, because if you did a full 360, it would end up back at the golf ball. So if you've gone past 180 degrees, it's moving back toward the golf ball. So that's, you know, parallel would be 270 degrees. So they're moving it away from the golf ball to start the downswing.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think a lot of times those circles that we will see, the tracers, people get confused because there's a lateral shift. So it might look like things got closer, but in reality, it actually got farther away.
Yeah, that segues into your commonly misunderstood concept, Tyson, which you have down as lateral force.
Absolutely. I think so many people think that sway, you know, they have a misconception of what sway is and how it's created. And so often when we all use, the three of us all use force plates, people you put on the force plates that are swaying have no lateral force. Literally in their setup, you know, they'll have literally 1 to 2% of their body weight in lateral force in their setup. And then it just flatlines and into their backswing. It's nothing on the right foot. The right foot goes to zero. And I'll always tell people, your mass is always going to chase the pressure. And if you're not pushing away, you're going to sway to the right. You have to. And ultimately, I think what I'll sort of get them to do, and what I love what John Eisenman has done with the towel drill, basically you're just applying more lateral before you swing. When you're ripping the towel apart, you're increasing the amount of lateral you have in your setup. So there's the lateral outward left-right force, and there's going to be vertical. So now those force vectors start to kick in before you swing. So literally had a guy the other day, he had 1% on his lead foot, 2% on his trail. As he swung, the trail foot went to literally zero. The lead foot dropped to 0.5, literally zero lateral force. Get him the towel drill. I then stand in front of him on his lead shoulder. I said, as you're doing this, now I push you in your lead shoulder. What do you got to do to not let me push you over? It's like, well, I got to keep pushing harder, even with the right foot. So we capture another capture on the plates. All of a sudden he's literally 15% of his body weight on his trail, 10% on his lead. As he starts, his lead goes to 15, his trail drops slightly and then peaked back up really quickly. Zero mass movement, zero sway whatsoever. And I think it's just simply because of a misconception of what we have to do to not sway.
And I think people misunderstand too how early they have to start pushing forward, because an object in motion wants to stay in motion. So let's say you push a little bit to your trail side. You have to then stop, slow yourself down and stop to change directions to go back forward. I saw a video of a long drive guy where he said his backswing is over at P2.
Yeah.
Because every moment after that, he's pushing in the downswing direction, both with his body and honestly with his hands and arms and stuff like that, because he's slowing that stuff down and then applying force in the downswing direction. So he feels like his downswing starts at P2, because that's the moment at which he's pushing forward and in the downswing direction with his arms and chest.
Yeah. And like you said, to be ability to show people force when they're not moving. Before I had my force plates, I would use little cereal boxes, and I'll never forget, I had this guy come in and I could see he literally wasn't pushing in the ground whatsoever, and I had him stand on one. I didn't want to do two at the beginning in case he actually was moving and I was wrong, and he swung, didn't move at all, right? And this is like a slippery, slidey, you know, cereal box cutout. And so I put him on both and I said, all right, swing, hit me a shot. And he literally, his feet didn't move whatsoever, and he turns and looks at me and goes, pretty good, right? I was like, no, that is not good at all. Like,
you should be on your face right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, just stand off here to the side. Let me show you how I swing. And so I hit one and I'm just all over the place. And he's like, oh, that looks terrible. I'm like, yeah, that looks terrible because I removed all the friction that I'm creating into the ground. Your swing should look something like this. You know, obviously everyone's a little bit different, but like, there, you need to be moving to the ground. That's why I hit the ball X amount further than you do. And he's like, oh, I thought I wanted to stay really stable. And I'm like, well, you can stay really stable and still move laterally and put force into the ground. That builds up the speed in your swing.
And now he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Cheerios.
I heard John Eisman say this, and when he said it was one of those moments where I'm like, hey, stop, say that again. What he said was, you know, if you're not using the ground in your setup, it's too late. Like, if you're waiting to apply the force, it once you start swinging, you're never going to apply it soon enough. To Eric's point, like, people don't realize how quick you actually have to do that. And I think lateral force is already tough enough. It's tough for me to generate a lot of lateral force. If you're not trying to generate more from the setup, it's going to be really tough. And I will get people that will say, man, I really feel my glutes and my hamstrings as I'm trying to apply that force in the setup. I'm like, yes, that's what you need to feel.
Yeah, those are muscles. We want those.
That's exactly right.
Muscles and cereal.
Yeah.
Muscles and cereal. You know, I'll just say, just like so many of our previous episodes, I think we could probably talk about many of these things for hours, but for now, that's going to do it. As always, we want to thank everyone for listening. Go hit that subscribe button. If you haven't yet, what are you waiting for? At the end of the day, hit that subscribe button so you get notified when our next episode is live, and tell all your friends about the Spin Axis podcast.
All of your friends.
Yeah, and your family too, even though they might not be your friends. All right. Really great episode, guys. Remember, you can find us on social media at The Spin Axis, and online you can find us at thespinaxis.com.
Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next time.